The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 119, beginning not with the 88th verse, but with verse 89 through the verses 112. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 119, the verses 89 through 112. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou wast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, and thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou wast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Mr. Tonweyer was privileged to come home from the hospital today. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is by renewal on this Sabbath day that we and our children may be gathered within the walls of thy house of prayer, and that by renewal we attempt with our unclean lips to approach unto thee. And then each time the necessity that we ask with the disciples of old, Lord, teach us to pray, the need for the spirit of prayer and supplication, and thy dear Son at thy right hand, whom thou always heareth. Wilt thou bless what was heard and seen in this morning hour, then by renewal, then we commend those parents with their little one unto thee. Wilt thou grant those times and places, as it was with an Ezra of old, that we cannot continue without thee, and that we need thee by day and by night. Wilt thou bless thy word in this evening hour, Lord? Thou hast said in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt save sinners. May it then please thee by thy free and sovereign grace to take one of thy prepared arrows, dipped in thy love, and dipped in the precious blood of thy dear Son, to place those arrows upon thy bow and shoot them into the hearts of the king's enemies, because the psalmist has declared that the arrows of the king, that they are sharp. Ah, Lord, no heart too hard. And when that takes place, then there shall be a weeping and a seeking people to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Then they shall be turned around. May that take place in this evening hour, among our little children, among our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones. And wilt thou remember those where thou hast begun that good work? May it be for instruction. May it be for examination. May it be for encouragement. And may it be for comfort, because thou hast a people upon the earth that are given to examine themselves oftentimes whether their faith is that true faith merited by thy Son and wrought by thy Holy Spirit. To that end, bless the manifold means of grace in the church from Sabbath day to Sabbath day during the week. Bless the confession of faith class, the catechism classes, the house visitation. It all awaits for thy blessing. Help fathers and mothers to instruct their children in that aforesaid doctrine, as they have promised with the sacrament of holy baptism and is commanded in thy holy word. Wilt thou bless the labors in the Christian school? Wilt thou grant thy gracious help and grant traveling mercies from day to day? We commend thy church all over the earth unto thee, all thy servants. There are those that are old and those that are frail. May it please thee to increase the number. Continue to uphold the persecuted church. Wilt thou remember all mission work, our mission field? Wilt thou remember thy servants and the team? And help the father and mother, continue to help them with the learning of the language. May they be given to experience thy special help. We commend unto thee the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. May all the circumstances, may they be used that they may be given to follow hard after thee. Many of that nation have departed so far from thy word, and above all, that thou may accompany it with the saving work of thy Holy Spirit, and that many may be saved. Lord, remember the nations of the earth, wars and rumors of wars. The footsteps of King Jesus are heard. May we have hearts to perceive, and that we may be given to flee for our life's sake. Remember also this nation, also when at the end of this week, that many communities hope to gather together to remember our armed forces and the many who have given their lives for the liberties which we may still enjoy. May they be gatherings where there is an acknowledgement that thou art the supreme ruler also over this country, and a calling upon thy most holy name, where we have fallen away from thee and from thy word so far. The liberties where much blood was shed for, they are being squandered away. Ah, then we must say with the prophet, woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown is fallen from our heads. Lord, wilt thou remember us and our dear children, and work lovingly and mightily from generation to generation with thy Spirit, and by thy free and sovereign grace, to find that shelter under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel, for body and for soul, for time and for eternity. We may acknowledge thee wherein this day a father may return from the hospital. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant unto him, together with his dear wife, the family circle, the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and that needs to be given from above. May this solemn calling, may it be sanctified. Oh, we remember all under the doctor's care. There are many, there are different ones that stand in need of healing and a strengthening, and then we commend unto thee a young mother, who was called upon for the fourth time to undergo a treatment. O Lord, wilt thou remember her, together with her husband and children, with their disappointments and discouragements? A word had been hoped that three treatments would be sufficient, but the desired effect has not been realized, and to that end another time, and then we may humbly beg of thee, if it may be according to thy will, that this treatment may truly be blessed. Ah, Lord, grant them that special place at thy footstool, and may this sore affliction, may it come out of thy right hand. Wilt thou remember the crosses, the burdens, the scars? We commend unto thee the handicapped ones and all the mourning ones in our midst and our elderly ones, and we're in this week two widows. They both hope to commemorate another birthday. One hopes to become 86, and our oldest member hopes to become 90. Then thou hast spared them for many a year. They are coming close to eternity. Ah, Lord, do remember them above all, for their never-dying soul. Wilt thou remember all those that struggle with temptations and addictions? Ah, wilt thou grant a place at thy footstool? Wilt thou remember all the family circles? May love abound when it is not so. Wilt thou grant repentance? Give so a prayer for one another. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee in this evening for thy gracious help, the opening of thy testimony, a little freedom and a little liberty to declare the wonderful works of the Lord, possible through a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. May thy word go forth with power divine. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 428, the stanzas 4, 6, and 7. Thy precepts have I hid within my heart, lest I should stray and fall into transgression. O teach thou me, and unto me impart thy statutes for a permanent possession. And what follows, 428, the stanzas 4, 6, and 7. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 33, the question and answers 88 through 91. Question 88, of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist? Answer, of two parts, of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. Question 89, what is the mortification of the old man? Answer, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, and more to hate and flee from them. Question 90, what is the quickening of the new man? Answer, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. Question 91, but what are good works? Answer, only those which proceed from a true faith, are performed according to the law of God and to his glory, and not such as are founded on our imaginations or the institutions of men. Our Lord's Day 33 speaks of the true conversion of fallen man, with three thoughts. In the first place, a true renewal of the heart. Secondly, a true, sincere sorrow for sin. And thirdly, a true, sincere joy in God through Christ. The true conversion of fallen man, a true renewal of the heart, a true sincere sorrow for sin, and a true sincere joy in God through Christ. Thus first, a true renewal of the heart. Beloved congregation, our Lord's Day in this evening hour, that speaks of the true conversion of man. And that conversion was mentioned in the last Lord's Day in question 82. Cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? And that question is declared the possibility of conversion and the need of conversion. But then the question could be asked in this evening, is it not a little late in our Heidelberg Catechism to speak of that true conversion? Because we have heard already of the knowledge, the origin and punishment of sin in the Lord's Day 2 through 4. And then we have heard of that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, We have heard of the benefits which Christ has merited for his church and grants unto them by his Spirit. Then we have heard of the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel, and the administration of the sacraments. And now in this Lord's Day, in the part of gratitude, then the instructors are given to speak of the true conversion of man. And then we have two answers. Oh, in the first place, the Lord has a people upon the earth that are given to examine themselves oftentimes. Oh, it is true. When it is lively, when it is good, when the Lord may speak to them, when they may feel his embrace, when they may be given to walk in the joy of his countenance, then they may be given to believe. But when the Lord holds such contrary ways with them, and when it becomes still, and when it becomes still, then such a soul, our old fathers, they have spoken oftentimes of those matters, then a child of God does well to examine himself why it is so still and why it is so barren. But now in the second place, that word conversion, that has a twofold meaning. And boys and girls, then you ask the Lord to be converted every day, right? You have asked the Lord in this morning, when you may come up to God's house and hear his word and see the sacrament of holy baptism, that the Lord may use it, that you may be converted, that you may receive a new heart that loves the Lord and hates sin. It's what we hope to hear in this Lord's Day. A heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget that, boys and girls. Oh, then I hear some boys and girls say, but I have asked the Lord so often already. I'll keep asking. Lord has commanded, and the Lord is still converting boys and girls, young and old. Thus, when we speak of that word conversion, then we may see it in the narrower sense, and that is the moment, a twinkling of an eye, when the Lord begins that good work, because we cannot be half converted. Thus, that takes place in a moment. We also call that regeneration, but boys and girls, the word conversion is much simpler. Thus, in the narrower sense, then it is a moment. But that word conversion, that also has a broader meaning, and that refers to the whole life of a child of God, that it is a continual returning, a reformation. We have heard from the first thesis of Martin Luther that he has stated in the life of the true believer, it shall be a life of a continual reformation. Thus, when the instructors speak of the true conversion of man, then they are speaking, can never be without a beginning, but that speaks of the whole life of a child of God. Further, in addition, then in the scriptures, then we do not only read of that first conversion, But then it is also implied the necessity of a daily conversion, a daily turning, and it is also implied in a way of backsliding when a child of God departs so far from the way of the Lord, when a child of God falls into great sin, the necessity of a second conversion. And now we read in question 88, of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist? Thus then the instructors are speaking of a true conversion. It implies that all conversions are not true. And for the true child of God, they become not angry. They examine themselves oftentimes, and they are given to ask the Lord at times, Lord, if it is not true, if it is not from thee, if I have begun with thee, then it shall all come to naught, but, ach, Lord, I cannot miss thee. I need thee. I need to receive the pardoning of my sins. I need to be reconciled with me. And then this Lord's Day, then for the true child of God, then what a comfort it is. Because when they hear those marks explained, then they may fall in with it. And then there are times they may say, Lord, although there can be so many riddles and so many questions, and I am not what I ought to be, I am not what I desire to be, but on the other hand, I may believe that I am what I not was, and then there shall be a striving for that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Thus, true conversions, there can be. Some people even speak of an unconscious regeneration, that we can be regenerated, and that we do not know about it. And it is true. When the Lord begins, it is such an astonishing and such a wonderful and such a supernatural work that it all becomes different. Does not mean that such a soul can give it a name, but they do know that it has become different. There can be a conversion. To make it simple, it can be that we receive another general, but still under the same king. There can be a turning and a changing from the world to the church, and some delight in religious duties, and yet not the true conversion of the scriptures. There can be sickbed conversions. We think of Ahab, it is true, he was not sick. But after the prophet Elijah has come and declared the great judgments that would come upon him, then we read that he has humbled himself and the judgments were stayed. There can also be deathbed conversions. And our old fathers have also dealt with those matters with great caution. Can be true. But they are the exceptions. Think of the thief on the cross, where the Lord is glorified as free in sovereign grace. But they are very rare. There can be temporal conversions. Think of the stony ground here. Oh, it can go so far. Think of a soul. He is prophesied, we would say, in our day, that the people have said Saul has become a minister, and we know his end. There can be imaginary conversions. Think of those foolish virgins. They went to meet the bridegroom, and they came to a door that was shut. Thus the Bible speaks of people where much has taken place, and God's true people, how troubled they can be with that people. Think of a Judas, preached, cast out devils, was an office bearer, and it became evident that it was not the true conversion. And then the instructors, they speak of two parts of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. And that conversion that is so necessary, congregation. Because in the scriptures, man is portrayed, think of Psalm 40, in that miry clay, in that horrible pit. In Ezekiel 37, a valley of dry bones. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, dead in sins and trespasses. In Romans 8, verse 7, at enmity against the Lord. Then a great work is necessary, but oh, that conversion, that is such a blessed conversion, that makes a soul happy, that makes a soul glad. Do we not read in Psalm 89 of those souls that are given to walk in the joy of his countenance, and it is needful to enter eternity, eternal bliss, because Christ has said to Nicodemus, except the man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what else in that chapter? Must never separate it. Also becomes evident in this Lord's Day. Speaks of that joy in God through Christ. Then Christ has also spoken to Nicodemus in the verses 14 and 15 and 16 of Christ, that that serpent that is lifted up, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And now the instructors speak of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. Thus in conversion, then a person becomes a two man. And it is called the old man. It is the older of the two. Has its roots in paradise. That old man cannot be changed, can only be subdued. Flesh remains flesh. And in Romans 8, then that old man is called flesh 9 times. And that new man, that is the work that is wrought by the Holy Spirit. And those two, they are so contrary to one another. And that is now that holy warfare in the life of a true child of God. And the command by the apostle Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Thus that is the warfare and the life of God's people. And now we must not make a mistake, because I believe all people under the word of God, they have a warfare between the good and the evil. But that does not mean we have that true conversion. There can be that warfare on account of a speaking conscience, still a blessing. And when we desire something wrong and evil, and then a speaking conscience, what a warfare there can be. Until, then it is needful that we come on our knees, until we succumb. There can be a warfare on account of fear of being found out, a warfare because of shame that it will bring upon us, thus also natural man. They have a warfare, and it is a blessing when we still have that warfare between good and evil, but it does not mean we are converted. When we think of that warfare, let us just mention example. When a husband or a young man gets addicted to porn, what a warfare there can be. What a prayer. What a promises. What a shame he feels, playing the hypocrite before his wife. Then how deep that warfare can be sometime, even at their wit's end, when there are such. May there be confession and seeking for help, that we may be delivered. This congregation, what I wish to say, that we do not make a mistake, that with trouble with the conscience and other reasons, that we have that warfare between good and evil, and that we come to the conclusion, then I must be converted. And then there are maybe souls that say, but what is now the difference between that warfare of the natural man and that holy warfare of a child of God? Because there are times that I have that fear that it is perhaps not the true holy warfare, not the warfare of a child of God. And then especially when they fall, when they give into temptation, then how troubled they can be. And now in this Lord's Day, then the instructors, according to the word of God, then they give some clear and precious marks of that true conversion. And that is for the encouragement of the true child of God. But in this Lord's Day, it separates the precious from the vile. And to that end, our second thought, a true, sincere, a sorrow for sin. What is the mortification of the old man? And that word mortify, that means to defeat, to crush, to humiliate, and even to crucify, as we read in Galatians 6, verse 14. And now this mortification, and that is also the lesson that the true child needs to learn, that is not in their own strength, but that is through the ministry of Christ Jesus, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the instructors, they speak of precious things where we may lay our heart beside, N-word includes, N-word excludes. Then concerning both the answer of 89 and 90, then it speaks of the heart, does not exclude our life, but it is a renewal of the heart, as we read in Ezekiel 36, that stony heart shall become a heart of flesh. Thus that outward manifestation of that godly tender life that must come forth from a renewed heart. We could give the example of a clock. Last night, then you have set the clocks backward. Of course, we also have digital clocks, but sometime with the hand. But the clock also needs something inward, a weight, a spring, or a battery that clock may tell the correct time. If you have a clock with nothing inward, then you have to set the time right, and that is a continual work. But now with the true conversion of man, it is not only attempt to make her clock give the right time. We are called to walk according to God's word, but it flows out of that inward work of the Holy Spirit. And then we read, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins. Thus not first a fear of punishment, not excluded. Oh, when the Lord grants a new heart and we see the evil of that heart before such a just and good-doing God, then we think much of death, of eternity, of hell, what it shall be to punish forever and ever. But that is not the main thing. Oh, when the Lord works, then it is that sincere sorrow of heart that we have sinned against such a good doing and such a just God. David has said in Psalm 116, verse 3, I have found trouble and sorrow, many troubles upon the world, many tears shed, but in the true work of the Lord, then it is also that sorrow. And then we find our life in beginning in the Beatitudes. And that sincere sorrow of heart that flows forth from a saving knowledge of who God is in all his attributes, even in the beginning. And that sincere heart, sorrow of heart, three simple marks that separates the warfare that every person has under the word of God. I hope may have much of that warfare, that you do not go along like a dead fish in a stream. That fish does not have so much warfare, but when we try to swim as a fish upstream, then we have many difficulties. And then sometimes the question is, how may I now really know whether what I have experienced is now the true work of God in my heart, or whether it's upbringing, whether I'm perhaps quite emotional, easily touched, a work of the conscience, special circumstances. And when we read that sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, then we read implied three matters. In the first place, love. Faith worketh by love. When we sin against love, then there is that sincere sorrow. And the Lord has a people. When we love someone, then it shall be known in the heart. Although that people have many bitter things to write against himself, they fail in many things, their sins are many, but they may say with the Peter at the Sea of Tiberias, with that fire of coals, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And on account of that love, if it was possible, never to sin against thee no more, to live holy before thy countenance. Thus first, love. That sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, find it in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of, but the sorrow after the world worketh death. And then in the third place, then the fruit shall be humility. Not a Pharisee in the front of the temple thanking God that he was not as other men or even as that publican. In the back of the temple does not mean that that people never have trouble with the Pharisee. Oh, each time by renewal, then that Pharisee needs to become the publican. But the Lord has a people that know what it is. To be in the back, to exclude himself, to smite himself upon the breast, upon their heart. That is where the biggest trouble is with the prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then as a proof to further examine whether it is true. And more to hate and flee from them. In the Bible, we read of the cutting off of hands, the plucking out of eyes. A sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins and more to hate and flee from them. How is it now, congregation? Lay your heart beside that answer and give now an answer before the Lord. Whether it is still missing. Never experienced that love to the Lord, to his attributes, his law, his day, his house, his people, and more to flee. Does not mean that people always dares to say it. More and more. Oh, there are times that it seems to go all the wrong way. When it may be so, then such a tender soul may be given to rejoice and to hope that dependent, that tender life at the throne of grace, when they may so freely pour out their heart, when their eyes are a fountain of tears, with that confession when they may hear the Lord speak, then they are given to rejoice. But the church shall learn that it is all of grace, and to that end there shall be different times, that that precious mediator may receive a place in their hearts, but not only the mortification of the old, also the quickening of the new man. That is our last thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 7, the three stanzas. On the good and faithful, God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not. Bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon his will and what follows. Psalter 7, the three stanzas. the true conversion of fallen man, a true renewal of heart, a true sincere sorrow for sin, and now thirdly, a true sincere joy in God through Christ. When we consider these two matters, then it goes in the first place not about the depth, but about the truth of this experience. And then in the second place, then boys and girls, then you must not think, when the Lord converts us and gives us a new heart, that we first have a time of that mortification of the old man, and then there comes a time when that is all past, and then we are partaker of our third point, a true sincere joy in God through Christ. No, both are continually experienced. When the Lord begins, even in that convicting work, on account of that love, then a soul is given to experience matters which they have never tasted and experienced before. And then that uncovering work, then there is already such a joy. They are won over for the service of the Lord, even those so unconverted, and with a desire that all people may become partakers of the same. What do you think of Ruth's congregation? Oh, when she has heard Naomi speak of her God, of that great God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and when her heart was filled with such a holy jealousy, oh, with what a joy she has listened. How many times at the beginning those souls love to listen, to hear how that the Lord converts his people, and then they are given to examine themselves, and then what a joy it is when it is not all strange, that there are matters which they can relate to, but also a blessing when they may hear what they miss, and then it can be that they go home as a missing people, but yet when they may tell the Lord all to unburden their heart, all the joy in the service of the Lord can be proven, because those souls under an uncovering ministry, that's what they desire to hear, because they need to know the truth concerns their soul, and it concerns a never-ending eternity. But those souls, they keep coming back to hear the words of the living God. What do you think, congregation, of that Mary? We read three times of her in the scriptures, sitting at the feet of Jesus, all with joy and with delight, because, congregation, there is no service like the service of the Lord. But now the instructors, they have added another separating point, because they have not only spoken of joy in God, but they have added through Christ. And then for the soul, it is true that all those gifts which are granted unto them by the Spirit, they are merited by Christ. But the soul needs to learn that the gifts are not Christ. And then a soul needs to learn, come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God for the pardoning of their sins, that they may be given to joy with rejoicing unspeakable in the gift of the Father and the dear Son of God. Thus also on this Lord's Day, we have heard it oftentimes, that the instructors lay no other foundation than what is laid in the Word of God, and that experientially we come to a knowledge to the Son of God, because I read in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There is no salvation outside of the dear Son of God. Thus, concerning our third point, further examination, a separating word, a word of examination, and to that end, in the way of gratitude, because the Lord is not of slaves, not saying that in the life of God's people there's no slavish labor. And I'm not saying that there's much mixing up of the covenant of works with the covenant of grace. But I do read in Psalm 110, verse 3, that the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. Maybe there are those that cannot understand what happiness and what joy can a child of God now find in the service of the Lord, not allowed to do so much, a strict, a sober life. The unconverted does not understand it. But for the child of God, that dependent life, oh, that tender life, child of God is much to complain of. Think of Paul in Romans 7. Oh, in the beginning, the child of God hopes to go from strength to strength, and so to appear in Zion. But now that holy warfare concerning that old man, nevertheless, also in that chapter in verse 22, there Paul has written a delight for the law of God according to the inward man, concerning that joy and delight, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. We have read together some verses of Psalm 119, many times called the ABC of the Christian. And in that psalm, know how many verses, boys and girls? 176. Then in nearly all the verses, with the exception of perhaps three verses, in each verse there is spoken of the Word of God. Different words, law, testimony, precepts, judgments, But in every verse except three, there is spoken of the law of God. And then the psalmist was given to speak of the Lord's precepts, of a promise to walk in that word, accompanied with prayer. Ah, when we read that psalm, what a tender and what a close life. Paul has written to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And now yet a further separation. We read in question 91, but what are good works? Also moral good works. That's horizontally. A privilege and a blessing when by the common goodness of the Lord that we try to help our neighbor, those in need, that we are willing to sacrifice, the Lord has still left good things upon the earth. But now good works. Then the instructors, according to the word of God, they have given three marks. And then first, the origin. And that is my true faith. Even when it is a faith as of a mustard seed. And then secondly, the rule. That is the law of God. In our day, then many place love above the law. It is true. We read in Romans that love is the fulfilling of the law. But there are many in our day that say, as long as there is love, then the law is not so important. Relationships, marriage, even though unbiblical, how many churches have went astray concerning the Sabbath day, as long as it is for a good cause, then the Sabbath does not have to be kept so strict. And then thirdly, the purpose, and that is His glory. Thus examination, and for the child of God concerning those matters, then how necessary, how precious Christ becomes, and He becomes ever more precious and necessary as prophet, priest, and king. True conversion. It is a turning around. Many times on the road, then we see a sign with the words, or a sign that says no U-turn. Do you ever think when you see that sign that we do need to experience a U-turn in our life? Oh, God's word tells us that it is still possible. The Lord exhorts that we turn unto the Lord. The day of our death, then it shall be too late. May it please the Lord to work that true conversion where it is missed, when building upon sandy foundations, also to work it, and when the Lord has worked that true conversion, to work the precious things of this Lord's day, especially through Christ, and then the admonishment of Paul to the Colossians in 1 verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day, and where Thy word may yet be proclaimed, and the sacrament of holy baptism administered in the midst of the congregation, we may commence another week. Wilt Thou remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches? Remember on the way, remember at work, remember in school. Keep from harm and danger, keep from sin and temptation. Keep us under Thy kind protection and Thy good care. May we be more a praying people, and may we return to our homes and given closely to examine our hearts concerning that true conversion. Wilt Thou graciously supply for the coming Sabbath day, grant traveling mercies, help the consistory, remember those that may have an active part in the service, our doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singing, the sound, and may we all have a part in prayer. Lord, do bless us and our children. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 311, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? How shall my soul by grace restored give worthy thanks, O Lord, to Thee? And what follows? 311, 1, 2, 4, and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.